This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
Grace like a flood flowing out of me, and as it flows into you, God can do things that you can't do in you. Today we're going to talk about a flood of confidence, and I'm going to be going quickly through some of this outline, and I'm going to slow down and try to stop on the areas of emphasis from this passage. I'm going to do something a little bit different. Normally I would go into the context of this passage of Scripture, but I'm just going to basically jump right in, mainly because we're in chapter 3, we're midstream through the emphasis of the text, and so what we'll do is we'll read one verse that we covered last week on our purpose, and our purpose then is flowing into the natural flow of the text, and that is the confidence that we have in Christ. And so I'm going to let you go back and listen to last week and the week before last to kind of get the context of it. I also want to just warn you about two things. Number one, okay, we're in this together. This is family. If you're new here, welcome. We're glad you're here. There's two things about this passage that I need to tell you. First of all, the end of the message is going to feel a little bit like a cliffhanger, okay? And no, I'm not going to create a bunch of problems and, you know, not, you know, show you the solutions from Scripture. But we are going to have a little bit of a cliffhanger, mainly because we're going to kind of cut the passage off. There's no way we could do verse 11 through through the end of the passage. So, especially with verse 20 there. And so, just bear with me on that. The other thing is, at the end of this message, there is, in verse number 17, a powerful truth. And it's going to feel a whole lot like I'm meddling, but I want you to know that the Holy Spirit used this in my life, and I'm just going to share it with you. It's directly in the text. I'm not making any of this up, but it's going to feel a little bit like I'm getting super personal. And so I thought I would just give you the warning, viewer beware, right? And so we'll dive into this. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. The prison was located at the bottom of the sewer. The sewer ran through the bottom of the prison where his feet were, where he was writing these words. And the Holy Spirit, of course, flowing through the Apostle Paul to write to the church at Ephesus. Of course, he was in prison because he took a member of the church at Ephesus into the temple and court, and they said, no way, reported him to Rome. And then, of course, he was writing this. You can read a little bit of the context of that in Acts chapter 21. We're going to begin reading in verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter 3, and then we'll read down through verse number 17, have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into this, okay? And so Ephesians chapter 3 in verse number 11 says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. Everyone say confidence. Okay, that's the theme of this passage, this text here that we're reading. Confidence, how? By faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He's referencing to him being in prison. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family, everyone say family. The family, we're family today. And I want you to get that sense that he's saying, listen, there's a connection here. The whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. And then he uses another word for it, with might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell, everyone say dwell, that's reside, Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word. Lord, now we rely on its power and your Holy Spirit now to reveal to us, Lord, what we need to see, what we need to do. Now, God, please help us to receive this not as it is from man, but as it is in truth, the word from you. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, all week, I've been thinking about things that go together, mainly because last week, my mind was blown by the revelation that we saw of the container of cookies and milk. And if you weren't here last week, I have to show you that photo again because I'm still pretty amazed by this. But a container of Oreos, okay, has a tray of milk in the middle. And so cookies and milk, they just go together. And that's just a part of it. A couple other things that go together, peanut butter and jelly. Okay. What else? Donuts and coffee. Okay. Donuts and coffee go together. Okay. If you're hungry, you can just get up right now and get some donuts and coffee. Okay. See what I did there? But there's some things that we see and we're like, wait a second, that's weird. That doesn't go together, okay? And in a few pet combinations that people have had over the years just don't go together, okay? This is one of them, one pet combo. Cats and dogs don't normally go together. Obviously, this combo does. I'm not sure what the cat is thinking here, but regardless, okay? This is even weirder. I mean, what's going on here? And then the next one, for you pet lovers, okay, a dog and a deer, who knew, you know, so those things apparently don't normally go together, but they're going together in this photo. And then a mouse, or is that a rat or a mouse? I can't tell. I don't know if it's a long tail, whatever. Anyway, it's kind of weird. Okay, so here's what this passage is saying. The mystery that was talked about in verses 1 through 10 was the mystery that the two groups of people that they thought were not ever meant to go together. Now there's this mystery, there's the secret. And he's like, you know what the secret is? He's like, it's that you guys are now kind of family. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, no. This is not a thing. We don't do this, okay? You're there, we're here, we're not meant to be together. And you know what Paul's saying? No. I know you look at it as if it's not a good combo, it's not a good mix, but let me tell you that you can come together in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a message that the world needs today? That we can come together in Jesus Christ. I want you to see that in this whole context of Ephesians, that it's all about bringing things together in Jesus Christ. Grace is the great gap filler. It brings things together. Chapter 1, it's talking about heaven and earth coming together. We'll talk about that in a minute. Chapter 2, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles coming together. 3 and 4 is talking about people in the church coming together. Chapter 5 is men and women coming together. It's all about coming together. There's a unity that's found in Christ alone. And the reason why there's so much division and so much chaos in our world is because Christ has been pushed out and the bond of grace has been ignored. And so in this passage, verses 11 through 17, it's going to break down. It's going to give us kind of these three new gifts of grace, okay? And the first, verse 11 and 12, gives us this new humanity. This is a new way of living that God has introduced through the Apostle Paul, a new humanity. Of course, that's brought through Jesus. But then a new family is discussed. And this is a new type of family. And when you come in and you hear me say, hey, welcome home, or we're all family here at New Life, and you think that's a ploy, that's actually a biblical term. That's a biblical way of describing the church of God. And then a new spirit. You see, the spirit is eternal, and it wasn't a new thing, but the spirit living inside of us is relatively new in the light of eternity. And so this was a new concept to them, the fact that the Spirit would indwell them, the Spirit of Jesus Christ would be in them. And so with that in mind, I want to look at three truths about the confidence that we find in grace through Jesus Christ. These three truths are seen in this passage. We're going to walk through it verse by verse. I want you to see, first of all, number one, confidence starts with Christ. It doesn't start with us. It doesn't start with our track record. It doesn't start with our, you know, mental capacity. It doesn't start with our ability to think or our ability to read the Bible. The great news is that that your confidence and my confidence, my strength, my joy, my ability to handle tough circumstances is not up to me. It actually starts with Jesus Christ. That takes a lot of the pressure off, doesn't it? The fact that Christ is the one that brings confidence into our life, and Jesus instills trust in us and through us by showing us his plan. Now, this whole first three chapters is leading up to a grand plan, and chapter 3 is that plan. He's showing us the plan that started at the very beginning of time, and he has this plan. Even though man sinned, he still has a plan. How many of you are glad, no matter what happens in life and in this world, God has a greater plan? How many of you are glad that there's a bigger plan than man's evil plans? And God is in control of those who are in control, and so there's confidence found in God's plan. Now, at New Life, we like to go verse by verse. We'll look at verse number 11. According to the eternal purpose, that's his plan, which he planned, he purposed in Christ Jesus. Skip down to verse number 13. He says, so, because of this purpose and plan, I want you to know, because God has a plan and everything fits into that plan, I don't want you to feel bad anymore that I'm in prison because I took one of your members into the court with me, into the temple court. He said, don't, no. In fact, the fact that God has a plan and my tribulation, my 3 years in prison is fitting into that plan, not only should you not be sad and feel bad and embarrassed by that, but you should have confidence. You should not faint in the tribulation, but you should have glory. You should say, wait a second. God chose us to be the one that he's using in this life of Paul to show forth his works. And so this was God's unfolding of his plan in Paul's life and in the church's life. And so a concrete purpose brings a concrete confidence when we understand the purpose and plan that God has for our life. And when we know God's purpose and plan for our pain, for our troubles, for our trials, it doesn't take away the pain. But you know what it does? It gives us this sense of confidence and reassurance regardless of the timeline and regardless of the outcome. If you're sitting here and you're like, I have no idea what God is going to do, there's two choices that you all must make. You can either connect into God's plan, which is the church, and which is being with one another and being vulnerable and open and fulfilling his plan, or you can say, you know what? I'm scared. I'm having doubts. I'm having fears. I'm going to isolate myself to protect myself. In every relationship, in every family, in every situation, the choice is between connection and isolation. When you isolate yourself, you are isolating yourself from helping others, but more than helping others, you are isolating yourself from helping yourself. Let me give you an illustration of that. There was a man who, by the name of Stanley Lord, some of you know that name. He was the captain of the Californian. I think we have a picture of the Californian. And this ship was in the waters near the Titanic when the Titanic went down. In fact, this ship was only 10 minutes away from the Titanic. There were other ships that came and helped, but this ship could have been there almost instantaneously. But the captain received word about the flares being shot into the sky, and he said, "Why did you wake me up? I was just getting some good rest." He said, "I'm sure it's okay." Turned over, went back to sleep, they shut the door, and of course we know the rest of the story. That man went to his deathbed in sorrow and depression and shame because he ignored the needs of others around him. He chose isolation and comfort over vulnerability and helping others. We all must choose. Are we going to stick with God's plan? God's plan is going to call us out of our comfort zone. God's plan is going to make us feel a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But God's plan will always bring us fulfillment and satisfaction far more than we could with our plan. And so we must understand that there's this confidence in just following his plan. There's confidence in marriage. There's confidence in child rearing. There's confidence at work. There's confidence in every situation of life when we say, listen, I'm not going to go with my plan, even though my plan feels right now. Even though it feels like I should stay in isolation, I'm going to open up. Even though it feels like I should get back and have revenge, even though it feels like I should withhold because they withheld from me, I'm not going to isolate, I'm going to open up, because that is God's plan. And so God's plan gives confidence, but then his presence. Confidence is found in his presence. And I want you to see this in verse number 12 and verse number 14. Verse number 12 says that in whom we have boldness, everyone say boldness, okay? Boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Now, boldness, faith, and confidence. Every time I see some words that are kind of similar, I always say, man, I wonder why he repeated kind of three similar words right in a row. And I want you to see this because he's given us this pattern for God's presence. And when we know we have God's presence, and when we understand that his presence is so much deeper and so much more encouraging than we could ever imagine, we come into his presence with this boldness and confidence. Many of us know his presence, but knowing his presence and experiencing his presence are two totally different things. Let me give you an illustration for this, okay? We all know that whales exist, okay? The humpback whale is the largest sea creature, and it exists. But several, okay, in comparison to the 7 billion people on this planet, a few have experienced the humpback whales. And I think we have a video of one of those men who experienced the humpback whale, the size, the sheer huge mouths of the humpback whale just coming out of the sea and grasping those fish, feeding on those fish. They say many times that the humpback whale, when they breach, the sound it just completely overwhelms you, and those birds, they many times will eat the birds. I mean, that's how big their mouths are. And so when we come and we see something that is a created thing, and then we understand God, who is infinite, and his presence is so overwhelming, and where we have just sensed a small little piece of it, but there is so much that we have not seen and experienced of the presence of God, and we must come into his presence saying, God, I want you to show me more of who you are and overwhelm me with how good you are, and I'm just going to stay in your presence, and I'm not going to leave until I experience you. God, show me. And so our confidence can be in the fact that we have access and we can have this boldness because he has given us access. We don't work our way into access. He gave us through his grace access. How? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. So God says, I'm going to place my laws in their hearts and their minds. I will write them. Romans 2, 14 and 15 talks about this. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's an encouraging verse to me, okay? And then he says, now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, meaning you're no longer having to make these sacrifices. As the priests were going in, they were making these sacrifices. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, what is this talking about, entering into the holiest? This was talking about the Holy of Holies, and there was this massive curtain, okay, way thicker and way heavier than this incredibly heavy, thick curtain. And it separated the inner temple from the Holy of Holies. And it was the place where the presence of God would literally and physically come down and receive the sacrifice for sins. And those animal sacrifices were looking forward to the Lamb of God. And the first man who saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And because that curtain was ripped, not from the bottom to the top by man, but God ripped the curtain from the top to bottom, saying, "Now everyone can have access to my presence." Friend, you can have access. You can have boldness. How? I want you to see this. This passage is so good with this, because not only can we have access through the perfection of Christ and boldness because of our standing in Christ, I want you to see Hebrews chapter 4, because it says that seeing then that we have the great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that an encouraging verse to say that we can come into his presence by the gift of the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ? And often our lack of confidence is a result of a lack of time spent in the presence of Christ. We don't realize the gift that was given, the blood that was shed to be in his presence. And many times it's something that's a trial. Many times it's something that's difficult in our lives that'll bring us into this knowledge of man, I need to get into God's presence. I need to hear from him. I need to have his comfort. I need to be there. But friend, don't wait for a trial to access his presence, because it's available every time you call, every time you ask him, every time you seek his presence, you will find him. And so it is in the fear of the Lord, practicing the presence of God, that there is strong confidence. His children have a place of refuge. That's Proverbs 14:26, and it was quoted to me by a friend of mine who had just started dating his wife-to-be, and he was getting pretty serious. And the year before that, I had known about this friend that he had broken up with his girlfriend, and I remember him going through that, and I was like, man, I would never want to go through that. And then Danielle broke up with me twice, by the way. What in the world, man? A little heart crusher back there, man. Not to mention I was a bonehead, right? That's just like, that's what I don't mention, right? But so you know how someone quotes a verse to you in a trial and it's like the last thing you want to hear? Have you ever had that moment? You're like, okay, I know that's true, but that's not helpful right now, okay? Yeah. I don't need a sermon, man. I need a coffee or something, you know, but don't preach a sermon. I remember him, quoting that verse to me, and he just said, you know, there's some strength and confidence in seeking Christ that you won't find anywhere else. And really it was difficult to receive at first, but then I remember thinking about that. I remember quoting that verse over and over again. Proverbs 14:26, the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. I wasn't confident about anything. I wasn't confident about the outcome. I wasn't confident about my ability to put the relationship back together. I'd done some pretty dumb things. I know that's a shock to all of you, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't confident at all. You know, I heeded that friend's advice, and that friend today is a pastor, and I've thanked him a few times since then. That's exactly what I needed to hear. The presence of Christ will bring confidence that we can't conjure up, that we can't try to get it together, Pete. You can't, but he can. And the presence of God will bring something into your life that you can't bring into yourself. So I want you to see some of these definitions. Look in your notes. Boldness is this Greek word for freedom of speech, but it's a mental poise and confidence. So literally, we can read this. There's three words for confidence in the Bible, and they're all used in this verse. It's the only verse in the Bible where all three Greek words for confidence are used. This is the first one. And he says, there's this parousia, it's this mental confidence. And then he says the word confidence, and that's the inner persuasion or assurance of the soul. That's moving from the head down into the heart. That's getting all that is within thee, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. That's the totality of man. But then he says it's by faith. That's one of the greatest words in the New Testament. It's pistos. And it literally means this pledge, this guarantee, or this proof of producing confidence, not in the soul, not in the mind, but in the spirit. You have a broken spirit this morning? You have something going on inside that no one else knows? Listen, God knows. He feels what you feel. Many times we feel like God is far from us in a trial, but you know, every time the Bible talks about God's presence in the context of a trial, do you know what word it uses in the Greek? It uses the word for whisper, because God is not far from you in a trial. Friend, he is so close that you can hear him in a whisper. God knows how you feel, and his presence will bring you confidence. So confidence does not start with you or I. Me or you, starts with Jesus Christ. Number two, I want you to see this, that confidence is not just from starting with Christ, doesn't just begin with Christ. It stems from acceptance. It stems from this acceptance that we have been given in Christ. And so confidence is seen in verse number 15. I want you to look at that. It leads up to this verse. This is the center point of this passage. He says, of whom we have this confidence, we have this ability to have boldness. We're not afraid of the circumstances. We don't feel bad and have guilt and all of those things, because we are family. Everyone say family. We are family. The whole family in heaven and earth, okay, those who have gone to heaven, how many of you have family in heaven, okay? Family in heaven, a family on earth is named those who are under the name of Jesus. There is a connection that's even greater than your familial connection. There's this unity, and this family is not necessarily talking about loved ones in the family sense. It's actually talking about the family of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons or daughters of God. That's what he's talking about, is the family of God. And there's this connection that we have, but it's a connection because we've all been given the same name. Now, some people who are just kind of studying the Bible, they'll say, now, is when we say Jesus Christ, is Christ his last name and Jesus his first name? No, okay? But we do lift up the name of Jesus because it is a name that is above all names. How many of you would agree with that? And that name is what gives us acceptance that we can't get, nor should we get, from anyone else, even our family. And so sometimes we can be loved by our family, but not liked by our family. How many of you know that? You know, it's really, you know, you always love your family, but you don't always like them. You know, there's sometimes, oh, you're getting on my nerves. I have one last one, and you're stamping on it right now, jumping up and down, you know. And so the just like that family can have some rifts and have some things that should always, by the way, be worked out. The family of God has something greater that transcends anything that's going on, and it's that we're all named by Jesus. Our name is forgiven. Our name is accepted. Our name is loved unconditionally. How many of you are glad that you have a name that no one else can take from you? How many of you are glad that there's a name that is placed on you that defines you, that should give you the acceptance that you long for, that you need? And if you try to find that acceptance predominantly in other places, it's going to leave you disappointed. And so we have this confidence in the acceptance. Confidence comes when we know God is going to accept us based on his grace. So look at Romans 8. Look at Romans 8. This is one of my favorite passages. In fact, this next year we're doing a study through Romans 8. I'm really, really excited about it. But Romans chapter 8 and verse number 14 says, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." So we're sons and daughters of God. If we have the Spirit of God, if we've received Christ as our Savior, you've heard that term before, if we received him through faith, we are sons and daughters of God. We're in the family. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we're not supposed to fear and have a lack of confidence when we have the spirit of God inside. No. We have received the spirit of adoption. We have been adopted into the family, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We're together. He is God's son. We are God's sons and daughters through adoption. And if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What a wonderful passage of scripture talking about it doesn't matter what our earthly name is, because we have a heavenly name through adoption. Now, it's good that we don't carry on our earthly names in heaven, because I have lived a life of confusion with my last name. Let me just get this out there, okay? It is M-O-R-D-H. It's not H-D, okay? Now, please, do not change the D into a P, because then it's morph, okay? Do not ever spell it with a G. Please don't. That kills me, okay? Morg. So the bottom line is, okay, the H is silent. It's one of the few things in my family that is, but it's silent, okay? And I know lots of you are like, how do you say his last name? Super weird, man. Like, what is that? And so I was with my dad. You can take it down, guys. It's, you know, it's like, what's going on here? I was with my dad a few weeks ago, and I was like, Dad, tell me the story again. Like, what happened? Like, why is the H? I mean, could they just not, like, you know, just leave it off? And he said, like, I guess there's this town in Sweden. You know, my grandpa was adopted, and he, you know, had Swedish adoption, parents who adopted him. And so they were named after this family. It goes back generation to generation, and it's like, you can look it up. It's in Sweden. It's like, Mordhufheisen or something like that. Immediately, I became grateful for Mord, okay? Because it could have been Mordhufheisen, okay? And so, either way, we're grateful that our name is not just represented with our earthly name, but there's a heavenly name that's placed on us through adoption. Let me tell you what that means. It means that there is something inside all of us that wants to be 100% accepted. And I want you to know that if you're coming to New Life and you're just brand new, or you've been at New Life from the very beginning a couple years ago, that this is a family and you are 100% accepted, and we are so thankful. And some of you, you know, are asking questions and you're not sure exactly what you believe yet, and you're trying to search the truth, and you're welcome, and we're glad that you're here. And we want you to know that entering into the family is not something that is done through merit. That entering into the family of God is done by receiving the gift of eternal life, the payment that Jesus made on the cross for our sins. And once we ask him for the payment of our sins, we are made family based on Jesus' payment for our adoption. We are made family in the beloved. Aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? And so we are free to be who Christ says we are in him, because we are his children. We are together with Christ, and coming together with Christ is necessary before you can work together with anyone else. If you are not feeling the acceptance in Christ, you will try to get it or pry it or demand it out of everyone else. And when they don't give it, you will be hurt, and then you will hurt others. This is the core to every relationship problem that has ever happened on earth. A problem with trying to derive acceptance and fulfillment in all the wrong places. When we know who we are in Christ, and we know who he's made us and who he's called us, that we're not trying to be someone else that we aren't. We're not trying to get something from someone else that they were not created to give. We are finding our acceptance and our belonging in Jesus Christ. So confidence, it begins with Christ. It stems from acceptance, and then finally today, and then we're done. Confidence strengthens the soul. It strengthens the soul. I want you to see this in verse number 16. Verse number 16 and 17 says that he would grant. Everyone say grant. He will grant you, means he will give you, he will gift to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. And so there's this inner man that needs to be strengthened. By the way, everyone in here has an inner man that needs to be strengthened. And today we are all here because we know we need strength. We know we need confidence. We know we need strength in our souls. It is our soul that feels so depleted so much of the time. So I want you to see how God intended to strengthen and fill your soul. Let me ask, how's your soul this morning? Have you come in and you're fine on the outside, but the inside of you feels so empty? It feels so anxious and stressed and hurt and all of these things that come. Let me tell you how to strengthen your soul. Letter A, strength is a gift of grace. It's a gift of grace that you may be granted. So many people act like strength is something that you conjure up, that you work, and it's a gift. It is given by grace. And so inner strength is a gift, not a goal. We often put it up as a goal, like, I want to have strength. I want to have this strength. That's the goal. But it's a gift of grace. And in Romans chapter 5, it tells us, it says five different times that righteousness and strength is a gift. And grace is this unlimited and empowering strength that comes under us. And just because you have access to this strength and have access to the presence of God and have access to this grace doesn't mean you use it. Let me prove it. Lots of people have gym memberships. But how many people have gym memberships and don't use it? Me? Okay? It's like, what in the world? I'm paying for this, and I still don't use it. The other day, I was at the, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, I'm just keeping it real. I was at the gym, and I put on my lock, on my locker, and I came back after working out. My lock was locked, but it wouldn't unlock. And so I had to, like, make the walk of shame, and, you know, they got the bolt cutters, and everyone's looking at me like, yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, man. We know. Forgot the code? Yeah, we know you. You know, I'm like walking behind them, you know, covering my face. The bottom line is we have been given access, and yet many times we don't use it. Grace gives us this strength, and all we have to do is ask for it. How many times this week do we wake up and rush through our day and never ask for the strength that God gives? Never ask for His presence to be with us. Never ask for His power to be within us. Never ask for Him to give us power to ask for forgiveness. Never ask for to give us power to treat our family with respect they deserve. Never ask to show love and mercy. Never ask. All we have to do is ask. And yet many times we don't access it because we get prideful and busy and isolated in our own circumstances. And so when Paul was going through some very heavy circumstances, many believe that it was a painful back injury. Some believe it was his eyes. He said he was asking God to take it away. And many of us, we pray that prayer. God, just take this away. God is not here predominantly to rescue you. God is here to be with you and to be grace for you. And this is what he said to Paul. He said, in fact, could we read this together? 2 Corinthians, put it up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 12:9, starting at my grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. May the power of Christ rest upon you. God said, you want me to remove the presence of your pain. But I'm going to do something different. I'm going to give you the power of my presence and allow that to be what you glory in. Unfortunately, a part of this world is pain. But fortunately for us as Christians, we have strength and might. Now look at these three words again, like it was in verse 12. Three words for the same thing. Very, very similar words. I want you to see this. The word strengthen is this word karatoso, and it literally means to support in prevailing, to increase until victory. The word might is dynamos or dunamos. It literally means miraculous power, strength, and ability. And the word spirit is the word for God's power. It's pneuma. It is breath. It is the comfort or the power from God, the inworking power of God. And so it is the Spirit that moved on the face of the deep. It is the Spirit that brings strength in the Old Testament. It is the Spirit that gave strength to Jesus. And it is the Spirit that can give strength to you. But it is not something you earn. It is something we are given by grace. And so we must come to this gift of grace and say, I'm going to receive it. How do we receive it? Finally, verse number 17. Look at verse number 17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. These two things go together. We'll talk about being rooted and grounded in love next week more. But when he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, he's saying that strength is not just a gift of grace, it is a step of faith. It is a step of faith, and the pathway to faith is in Christ, and it begins in the moment of repentance and acceptance. The moment you repent from your sin and you accept Christ, then Christ dwells in your hearts by faith. It is by faith that we say, God, you can save me. I don't want to try to save myself through religion. It is a moment of acceptance. I'm so thankful for those last week who said, I need to accept the gift of grace. By faith, I am accepting that Christ can save me, that Christ can forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven. I'm trusting him. That is the moment that through faith, we dwell, that Christ dwells inside of us. He indwells us. But then every moment after that is a step of faith to allow him greater access to our lives. And so faith in God's grace begins the moment of salvation, but it will continue. We're not continuing to get saved. We have the presence, but through sanctification, we are becoming more yielded to Christ. And faith in God's grace, it overwhelms us. And then we have the confidence and strength to say, you know what, I can take the next step. I don't know about 30 steps later, but I know about the next step. Following the plan and entering in the presence of God, it takes a step of faith. We must take these steps of faith every single day. Abraham knew this. He had to take a step of faith to leave his family. He had to take a step of faith to trust God. And all throughout the New Testament, in Hebrews 11 and in Romans 4, I put that in your notes. It's all about Abraham taking a step of faith. He didn't know where he'd end up. He didn't know how it would end up, but he knew that he was going to take the next step. Some of you are overwhelmed with all the steps you need to take. Some of you just need to take the next step. Have confidence for the next step. Some of you, the next step is baptism. Next week, we have some that want to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, that's the next step. Some of you, the next step is discipleship. And Christ is calling you. He's calling you through this message to take that step. And some of you need to take the next step of serving and giving. And some of you say, man, I don't know how I could give to support missions or how I could tithe. But some of you just need to take the next step because it is God's plan. And it's our way of releasing what we hold on to so tightly and entering into his presence and trusting him by faith. And so Revelation gives us this picture. It says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I grant to sit with me in thy throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto who? The churches. God is speaking to his church right now. And what he's saying is, if you trust me, then I want you to live with an open door policy. I want you to live with doors wide open. God's knocking. He's knocking on your heart, and some of you need to open your door to Jesus to receive him for salvation. But he's not just knocking on the door of your heart for salvation. He's knocking because he has a purpose and plan for you. He's knocking, and all he wants you to do is give him greater access. There's areas of our lives that we seal off and we don't let him go there. But if we'll just take a step of faith and show up and say, okay, God, I'm in your presence. Now what? What do you want to do next? Many times our comfort level with Christ in us determines on our comfort level moving forward in life. When we're comfortable in the plan that Christ has given us and the presence that we have in him and the acceptance that we have, then we just take the next step and allow him to bring us confidence in our lives. Let me illustrate it this way. I had some friends coming in from Tennessee, and they really wanted to see Hollywood. And I said, okay, I'll take you there. And I was like, to be honest with you, that's like not, it's not the greatest, you know? I mean, well, let's go to the ocean. I mean, what do you want to see? Like, no, we want to see it. We want to go down. We want to see the, you know, place and the hot sign and everything. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll take you down there. And there was a lot of us. So we were in a 15-passenger van, and so we went down, fought the traffic, did the whole thing, you know, and finally we were coming down Hollywood Boulevard there, and they wanted to see the Dolby Theater for whatever reason. I said, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. The parking's a hassle. I said, I'm going to drop you off, and then I'm going to circle around. You guys go in there, take a picture, and then come right back, and I'll pick you up. And so we pulled up, opened the doors. Little did I know that we are right on time for the premiere for Big Hero 6. And right when we pulled up, there were about 19 other 15-passenger vans, and the voice actors and actresses and everyone and all these people from all over the world who had worked on this film, they all pulled up, and just the timing of it, we pulled into the line, and right as we pulled up and that door opened, my friends were walking off, and this guy got out, and with a British accent, he said, "Welcome to the premiere." Just like that. And they looked, and they're looking at me, and they're like, are you joking with us right now? Like, should we? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Don't look at me. I'm just the driver, right? Would you believe it? You know, they owned that moment, and they walked on that carpet. They walked in. People are taking their pictures. I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I saw one of my friends signing autographs. These are normal people from the boondocks in Tennessee. 10 minutes goes by. I'm like, what's going on? Finally, I park by that little 24-hour fitness down there, some of you that are down there, and I'm sitting there. I'm texting them. No answer. Texting them. I'm like, what's going on? 30 minutes. 40 minutes. I'm like, hello, I'm in the van here, still here. I don't want to get a ticket, so I don't want to leave, you know. Finally, like an hour and 45 minutes went by, and they got in. They're like, that was the greatest experience of our life. I'm like, how'd it go, guys? Oh, it went well? Okay, I've been here, sitting here. A text would have been nice. They went in and watched the premiere of Big Hero 6. Without me, I'm going, would have been nice. One text. They're like, you have no idea. There were chocolates. All the snacks were free. I'm going, yeah, that sounds really nice, man. Meanwhile, I'm just out in the car feeling unwanted. The reality is that situation, I'll never forget the Holy Spirit kind of speaking to me and saying, you know what, sometimes that's how I feel. Sometimes I want to be in on the action and I'm just kind of pushed off to the side. You know what the word dwell is here? Look, pull up that verse. The word dwell, there's two words for dwell in the New Testament. There's one that literally just means you are present. There's another that means that you are comfortable at home. It's the analogy that we would use in our culture that after a long day, you go to your happy chair, you know, your comfortable chair, you take off your shoes, and you're at home. Some of you are like, yeah, I'd like to be at home right now. Okay, go with me here. Because God, through the crimson red blood of his son, has rolled out the carpet of his presence. And he is offering you to be a part of all the glorious riches of his grace are accessible to us. And he's like, listen, I have all of this for you, and I have this for you, and look at what I've offered to you, and I have strength for you, and I have joy and pleasures forevermore are found in my presence. And he's like, all of this, I have this for you. And many of us act like, you know what? wait off in the car for a minute because I have some stuff I want to do, and you wouldn't really feel at home with what I'm doing, so I'm just going to, I know you're inside there, but just kind of ignore this for a second. We all have those moments. And Christ is still in there, but you know what? Christ didn't indwell you to be relegated to a corner of your life on Sunday morning. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to feel at home. We'll roll out the red carpet for entertainment. We'll roll out the red carpet for so many things. But how many of us fail to roll out the red carpet for our Savior? Christ wants to be at home in your life. But our lives many times are spent just segregating His presence out and saying, you wouldn't approve of this right now, so just stay in the car. And He's like, I want to be in on it. Listen, I know you're not perfect, but I want to be close to you. You know what? I'm not saying any of this to make you feel bad, because we're to be rooted and grounded in love. We'll talk about that. You know, next week we're going to talk about His love follows us around. And every time we say, okay, that was wrong, He's there. Whoa. He's there. He's like, oh, I was waiting for you to come back to me. I've been waiting to have sweet fellowship with you through love. We must come into His presence and say, God, there's no room, there's no area of my life where I won't make you feel at home. When you make Jesus feel at home in your life, friend, let me tell you, it's one of the greatest things you can ever do. It gives you confidence. You can have the confidence of knowing, man, yeah, I messed up, but man, my fellowship means so much more. Here's the takeaway from today. By faith, we need to open the doors of our heart and life and allow by His grace, God to give you the confidence and strength. He's knocking. Will we open the door? Some of us will open the door of service, but we won't open the door of giving. Some of us will open the door of worship, but we won't open the door of fasting and praying. Some of us will open the door of convenience, but when it's a little bit inconvenient, slammed shut. And our hearts need to be open to whatever He has for us, whatever God is speaking to your heart to do. I would encourage you, open the door of your life.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.